This week is Parshas Kahar B'Chukosai, double header. Also Parshas Chazak, which is a very significant event. Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek, and it's also Shabbos Mevorchim. Am I missing anything else? Shabbos Mevorchim Sivan. Okay, so we begin in this week's Parsha. Parsha to start with Parshas, I would say two Verloch and Parshas Behar. Parshas Behar begins that Beril B'nei Yisrael V'yamart Elohim Ki Sovo El Aretz Asher Ani Nosei Lohem. And the first thing Hashem says when you come to Eretz Yisrael is there will be Shemitah V'shavah Soho Aretz Shabbos LaHashem. Shemitah, right away Shemitah. If you would take the pasuk literally, it would mean that the first year that you occupy the land is Shemitah. It's not so. Al pi halacha, first there are 6 years of non-Shemitah and then comes Shemitah. But if you take the pasuk literally, it says there shall be Shemitah. V'shav Soharet Shabbos LaHashem. Then it says, let me tell you the order. Shei Shanim Tizra Sodecha V'shei Shanim Tizmar Karmecha. You will plant, you will sow your field, you will prune your vineyard. What?
You'll begin the Shemitah cycle.
Oh, that's the Pshut HaShol Nekor, right? Correct. And then the Osav Testu Osav and then V'ashana HaShviyah Shabbos Shabboson Yelaretz. Okay. Now, what would happen if the pasuk, if the Torah would delete, would omit the pasuk of Kisavo el Aretz Asher Ani Nosein Lachem V'shav Soharet Shabbos LaHashem? Let the pasuk say, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'Har Sinai Le'Emor, Dabrei el Bnei Yisrael v'Yamart Aleihem, Shei Shanim Tizra Sodecha, V'Shei Shanim Tizmor Kamecha, V'Yosafta Es Tvuasa," and completely omit the section that says that when you come to Eretz Yisrael it'll be Shabbos LaHashem. Would you blink? Would you know something is missing? No, Adrabba, that it makes more sense. This now the pasuk adds in the middle when you come to Eretz Yisrael there will be a Shabbos LaHashem confuses us. It misleads us to think that year one is Shemitah and then there are 6 years and then you come to second Shemitah, which is not so because the pasuk has to apologize and backtrack and say no, first it's Shei Shanim, you're going to start having 6 years of non-Shemitah and then will be Shemitah. So if that's the case, if that's the bottom line, so why then does the pasuk mislead us by writing that first comes Shemitah and then comes 6 years, 6 years, and then Shemitah. It's like a sandwich. Shemitah, 6 years, Shemitah.
They didn't start.
Kibush, 14 years. Okay. That's right. They waited the first 14 years. But when they started, when the process started, year one was non-Shemitah. When they started, it was not, the first year was not Shemitah. It was not Shemitah. So the pasuk is misleading us. What is going on here? So I want to say something very, very simple. Is that we know with regard to the Chazal tells us if only B'nai Yisrael will observe two Shabbosos, Mashiach would come. Famous Chazal, just observe two Shabbosos. Shabbos Kodesh is sacred. Why two Shabbosos? One Shabbos. What would be so terrible if Klal Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael would observe one Shabbos? Shabbos across America, they have Buchwald. I hear those commercials. Yes. Shabbos across America. In New York, they don't play the commercials that often, but they're out of town, they have even television commercials. I once took a course with him. He showed us. He was so excited when he first, how many years ago that was, when he first made those commercials, the music. Shabbos across, what would be so terrible if there's only one Shabbos? Why do we have to have two Shabbos? So Chazal, so a lot of Mepharshim said the same thing is, there are two dinim in Shabbos. Shabbos has an effect on the future, and Shabbos relates to the past. In other words, let's talk halacha. Are you allowed to travel to a distant land knowing that when there will come Shabbos, you're going to have a problem? Do you have to take into consideration, I want to go on vacation, I want to go away for business, and it's very likely that if I'll start traveling today, I'm gonna have a problem. When it'll come Shabbos, I'm going to find myself stranded in the middle of the road, and I'm going to have to do things which are not ideal. I'm going to have to make use of different leniencies in the laws of Shabbos. Are you allowed to do such a thing? So the answer is, I'm not going into every single detail, it depends what day of the week it is. If it's already Wednesday, then you are mechuyev al pi halacha to take into consideration that Shabbos is coming and there are obligations to take that into consideration. But if it's before Wednesday, it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're not mechuyav. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, do not need to take into consideration that Shabbos will eventually make its way around, and you'll find yourself in a difficult situation. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're mechuyav. What's the end? Because Shabbos already has a hashpa on the days before Shabbos. The hachonah for Shabbos, when you lead the Shafayis Erev Shabbos, everyone gets that sense. Friday is a different day. Everyone, that's obvious. Friday is a different day. It's a short day. It's people do different things on Friday because Friday night is Shabbos. I have to get ready for Shabbos. I have to take a shower, get dressed. I have to prepare the su'uda. The Shabbos has an incredible influence on Friday. You feel the Kedusha. It's easy to sense the Kedusha. A Shabbos is arriving. On a larger scale, that's really true for Thursday and Wednesday as well. And maybe we're not so, we live in the modern world, it's a little bit harder, but al pi halacha, it's true. There are things that you have to take into consideration on Wednesday, Thursday, in preparation and in anticipation that Shabbos will arrive. But not Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. However, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you feel the after effects of Shabbos. Sunday is a different day.
Post
Shabbos. Why is Sunday a different day? Because yesterday was Shabbos. I'm still digesting the meal of Shabbos. I'm a different frame of mind. I had a good experience and I'm uplifted. I'm having a hangover from Shabbos. Monday also. Tuesday also. Al pi halacha. Until when can you make Havdalah? You can make Havdalah until Tuesday. Someone once told me there's a certain Hasidish Rebbe, he doesn't make Havdalah until Tuesday. I don't believe this because it says, this is what I was told. Because, al pi halacha, because the neshamas don't return to Gehenna until you make Havdalah, until Shabbos is over. And even though you do Melacha, you say Bercha Mavdil, but Shabbos is not really over until you make Havdalah, so he didn't want the neshamas that he was affiliated, his Hasidim, to return to Gehenna, so he didn't make Havdalah until Tuesday. Is it true? Is it not true? I have no idea. But there's such a thing to it. The hangover of Shabbos goes until Tuesday. So we have over here, that's what Chazal tell us. Only the B'nai Yisrael observe Shabbos. Doesn't mean Shabbos. You have to have the full effect of Shabbos. When you have a Shabbos in the beginning, it has a hangover until Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then the second Shabbos imbues Kedusha backwards to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So a double Shabbos fills up the week with sanctity. HaKadosh Baruch created the world in 7 days. The purpose of the creation, HaKadosh Baruch, Hashem's creation, the whole week has to be filled with Kedusha. Shabbos gives it that Kedusha. So Shabbos before, Shabbos after, fills the Kedusha, and we have a full week, and then Mashiach would come. It's not just enough Shabbos. Shabbos has to affect us, has to influence the remainder of the week, and that only can be done with two Shabbos. I believe we can say the same exact thing is true for Shemitah. What is Shemitah? That the earth belongs to Hashem. Ki li ha'aretz. The seventh year of the cycle, that's it. Hands off. You're not the balabas. There's no farming. There's no planting. Hands off. You're not allowed to do any malacha on the earth. It's Hashem's land. Same thing. In order to get the full effect of Shemitah, there must be a double Shemitah. The Shemitah in the beginning and the Shemitah at the end. Just like Shabbos Kodesh, double Shabbos gives you the full effect of the cycle of the six days in the middle. So too, in order to get the full effect of Shemitah, you have to have two Shemitahs. The first Shemitah, when you experience that Shemitah, Ki li ha'aretz. It's Hashem's land. It's not mine. I'm helpless. The gates are open. Anyone can come do whatever they want. It belongs to Hashem. When Shemitah is over, lock the doors. No more hefkeros. It's my property. But there's an after effect. There's a hangover. Last year I was taught a powerful lesson. It's not mine. It's Hashem's. That effect, that feeling does not go away the first year, the second year, even the third year, all the way until that's the mitzvah. For 3 years it will linger in your mind, the effect of Shemitah. But that's it. After 3 years already, it wears off. But then when you get to the fourth year, wait a minute. In 3 years from now, the land that's ownerless. The following Shemitah, the coming Shemitah, will have an effect backwards. The sixth year, you're preparing. You're nervous. In the sixth year, the land has to produce enough grain to last you for 3 years. For 3 years. The effect of Shemitah, the second Shemitah, goes backwards for year 4, 5, 6. You only get the full effect of Shemitah, a double Shemitah. I want to suggest, that's why Masech, the Bava Kama, the study called the Bava Basra, the whole Cheskabatim, Cheskas Gimel Lashon. Where does it come from? A Chazaka is 3 years. If you are occupying a field for 3 years, and no one makes a Macha, and then the owner shows up on year 4 and says, get off my property, it's my land. And you say to him, I bought it from you, I don't have the shtar, but after 3 years I have a chazak, I've been living on the land for 3 years, and I've acquired it. And after 3 years, you didn't bother, no one, after 3 years I'm entitled to be negligent and to lose my shtar. You win. Why is the chazak of 3 years? Because if a person sees his friend occupying his property, he would not allow him to do this, be silent for 3 years. Where is this magic number 3 years? Chazal were psychologists. They went down into a person's mind. They made the calculation. 3 years is the tolerance. Where do they get this from? I think the answer is from Shemitah. It comes from these two psukim. When the pasuk here begins the process of Shemitah, the Torah is telling you from the very beginning, what is Shemitah? Shemitah, the purpose of Shemitah is like the two Shabbos of Shabbos. It's a sandwich. First thing you should know is there's a Shemitah in the beginning. And then there's Shei Shonim Tizra Sadecha V'Shei Shonim Tizmer Kamecha. And then comes Shemitah again. Al Pi Halacha, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, Pasha, you start from the very beginning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Shemitah. That's the way it has to be. But the Torah is telling us, presenting us the theme. It's presenting us the essence of Shemitah. The essence of Shemitah is you should know that Shemitah, it's a double Shabbos. A Shabbos in the beginning, a Shabbos at the end, and the Koyach of Shabbos goes both ways. 3 years forward, 3 years backwards. The influence of occupying property goes 3 years. That's what we learn from Shemitah. That's why we need double Shemitah. First Shemitah at the beginning, at the end, to cover forward, backwards. Because the influence of occupation or recognition of who is the Bala boss on the land lasts for 3 years. That's why Chazaka is 3 years. If you are occupying the land and no one says anything, what do you mean? It's my land. The land belongs to me. And this guy, Reuven, is sitting on my land. You let this go on for 3 years. That's already past the point, because we learned from Shemitah the occupation is, influence of occupation lasts for 3 years. Okay, that is one idea. And Parashas Bar.
You say it's Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The Yom of Wednesday.
Yeah.
Ready thinking.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. Very, very good. Beautiful. Okay, now I'll come to another idea. There's another short idea. It's a Pashut idea. The Gemara tells us that Rav would tell his Talmidim that in the 2 months of the year, Tishrei and Nisan, I don't want you to come to Beis Medrash. Bein Azman in Tishrei, they were Masmidim in his generation, they were very great Masmidim, they came to learn by Rava. Nisan and Tishrei, the Beis Medrash is locked. There are padlocks on the Beis Medrash, no one comes, because you must occupy yourself with Parnasa. In ancient times, can you imagine, all they had to do work was 2 months a year. Imagine such a thing. Only have to work 2 months a year, go to the fields, these are the two seasons of harvest. Nisan and Tishrei, make sure you have Parnasa, you'll harvest the crop, you'll sell in the markets, you'll have money for the entire year, and then you can come and you can learn by me for 10 years, by me for the other 10 months of the year. B'matusa minach, I beg you, don't come here Nisan and Tishrei, involve yourself in Parnasa, and then you'll come back for 10 months. So many Mepharshim say the same idea. I don't have any, I don't remember the exact Mepharshim, but that is why Hashem gave us Shemitah. Because during six years when you work the land, you work ideally in the ideal world, you only work 2 months a year. So that's six years multiplied by 2, 12 months. So in 6 years you work for 12 months. So Hashem says, I'm going to pay you back. because you really wanted to learn, you really wanted to learn during those 2 months. But you couldn't because I put you in this world. I didn't put you in Shemayim to be Malachim. I put you in this world to sanctify the mundane. So, and you've done what you're supposed to do. You're not going to lose. You're not going to lose. I'm going to give you a bonus. Shemitah, the 7th year, you don't have to work the land. You're going to have the whole 7th year, 12 months. 12 months of learning. That's my blessing to you. Now there's an obvious problem with this answer. Because let's say Hashem wouldn't give us Shemitah. He wouldn't give it. How many months would we work during the 7th year?
Two.
So, what are you giving me? You're giving me a whole year of 12 months to make up for the 12 months that I've worked the last 6 years. But in the 7th year, even if you would have given me nothing, I would have free 10 months. So you only really pay me back 2 months. Because anyway, in the 7th year, I would not have to work more than 2 months. So what? What are you giving me? I'm paying you back. You work for 6 years, for 2 months a year. 6 times 2 equals 12. Now it's year 7, 12 months, you're free. What do you mean not 12 months of free? Anyway, would have been free for 10 months. So what are you giving me? All right, what's going on? So this is a famous question. And the answer given, so I saw one answer given, the similar answer is that even those in the regular years of 6, when it says that you only work for 2 months, it doesn't mean there's no such thing as only working for 2 months. 2 months you work non-stop, like a slave. The other 10 months, you work 9 to 5. You also work. When Rava told the Talmidim, I don't want to see you here during the 2 months, what, they came the other 10 months? No. They came the other 10 months for an hour. They came for a shir. They came for a shir at night. Koilel, the morning, at night, they came. So he told them, it's good, the whole year round, for 6 years, you're coming for me to learn by me 1 hour. But during the months of Nisan and Tishrei, no, don't even come for 1 hour. You go home 24-7, you busy yourself with working. So the blessing of the year of Shemitah is that year of Shemitah, you're in Koilel the whole year, for 12 months non-stop, you don't even have to work 9 to 5. That's the bracha. The bracha is normally, what would you normally have to do in year number 7? You would have to work 9 to 5 for 10 months and do nothing and then work like a slave for 2 months. In this year, number 7, you don't have to work at all. You don't have to work. What?
You have to come learn.
So you have to learn 9 to 5 every single day. You have to make it. Okay, that's one answer that I have seen. It's a very nice answer. It's a simple answer. That's one approach. Of course, you have to finesse the idea differently, but you get the picture. So I want to suggest another idea. It's a very similar idea. So again, Yom Yoma of our Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. We know that Rabbi Akiva, his wife gave him permission to, Rachel gave him permission to learn for 12 years. That was part of the contract. So he went to learn for 12 years, and it was 12 years, and he came back to his wife. He was outside the door, and as he was walking, he heard a person harassing his wife and said to her, look at you really fell in big. You married this Akiva, he abandons you, he goes to Kollel far away. What kind of husband? What kind of, this is Torah, Zu Torah. He abandons his wife for 12 years. So she said to him, this is my biggest nachas, that I'm able to be married to a person who sits and learns for 12 years. It's my greatest nachas. Halavai. If only he heard me, I would let him go back for another 12 years. Rabbi Akiva heard this. Wow, what a wife. He did not even bother to knock on the door and say, hello, I heard what you said. I heard you said I'm going back. He didn't even bother to knock on the door. He heard this from outside. He immediately about face. He went back to the Beis Medrash, gets sent a letter, sent a telegram. He sent an email. I heard what you said. And I'm back in Beis Medrash for another 12. I'll see you in 12 years. Now, Derech Agav, I heard a joke. Milsa Bidichusa. So why only 12 years? Why his wife was such nachas? So she said, another 50 years. Teretz is a joke. Teretz is good. This is good for an anniversary party. Teretz is because what, the 25th wedding anniversary? That he has to come back for. That, yeah. So next time you go to a 25th wedding anniversary, you have what to say. That's called silver, right? Silver, 25 is silver. Gold is 50. And what comes next? Okay, so now the question, why didn't he knock on the door? So what's Taka the Pshat? Yes, why did he knock on the door? This is a famous question. And what? Oh, so the famous answer, Eine Doine, 24 years straight to 2 times 12. Can't even compare. If there's a hefsek in learning, it's different. We all know that. I don't want to explain. It's about learning Torah, learning work. You're involved in something. You're in a certain momentum. There's a momentum, and then there's a break. It takes time to power up. That's how it is. It takes time to shut down. It takes time to power up. Even the computer. You know, you turn on the computer, how boring it is to wait for the computer to boot up. This is a mitzvah, yeah? Okay, there are different answers.
It shows how he thought about his wife.
Not even to knock on the door. He was right there. He was right there. So knock on the door. Say hello. What's doing? And the whole story is very strange. 24 years away from your wife. I mean, I don't know. You have children. What's going on over here? I don't know. We don't relate to this. Obviously, this is...
12 years?
Okay. Ain't doing there 24 straight to... There's a famous one, the Chazon Ish. Someone showed this to me in Hagdama. A fascinating story with the Chazon Ish. He saw two Bachim battling on a roof. I don't know, you have to see all the details of the story. And he said to them, what are you battling on? What are you sitting battling? You have to learn. And he described to them, he told them, that unless you learn for at least 3-4 hours, you'll have no sipakhanu on learning. The first 2-3 hours of learning, there's nothing. After 3-4 hours, your mind already begins to open up. And then the Chazon Ish is a fascinating description. He describes in detail, it's bizarre, how you feel hour 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He describes in words what it feels like hour 5, hour 6, hour 7. The tainuk that a person, the enjoyment a person has from learning, how it increases exponentially each additional hour, consecutive hour. But if you learn for like, most of us, like you learn an hour, you go away, you come another hour, you take a break, 2 hours, maybe if you're lucky, you learn 2 hours, then 3 hours. How many people are zochet to sit and learn consecutively 4 or 5 hours? And he writes, if you don't learn 3 hours straight, it's nothing. There's no tainuk. The mind doesn't have, the human mind does not have enough time to adapt, to reach a state where you can enjoy and delve deeply into Torah. Fascinating. It's incredible. Rabbi Kiva is describing this exponentially in the Daimer, 24 years straight into 12 years, 2 times 12. So I want to suggest exactly over here the answer to this question. What's the famous? I beg you, don't show up 2 months a year. Don't show up. So let's assume the Pshut Shel Mikra. They didn't lift a finger for 10 months. Didn't lift a finger, nothing. Zero. Yoshev Batel for 10 months. They came to Beis Medrash for 10 months. 2 months they worked 9 to 5. He told them, "Don't come here to Kol Al Tishrei and Nisan, go work." Hashem says, "Wow, look at that! I'm impressed. You've done what you're supposed to do. You learn. Every year you went, you work for 2 months. I'm going to make it up to you. How am I going to make it up to you? Year 7, you're going to give you 12 months. So what was our question? Hashem is giving us 12 months. He's making up. He's making up for 6 years. He's cheating us. Anyway, during the seventh year, we don't have to work. We don't have to work for 10 months. Hashem is giving us 10 times kefil. Because Hashem is giving us in year 7, 12 consecutive months. Otherwise, what will we do? We learn a few months. Oh, it's time for a break. Learn a few months, time for a break. Okay, but now in year 7, you're going to be able to learn 12 months with B'li Hefsek. Learning 12 months B'li Hefsek is on a level that is not Ein L'Shair. It's Ein Adoyme to what you've had the previous 6 years, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only is he making it up, he's giving us a lot more. Okay, I'm going to go to another idea. Now this idea, I find there is, it's not a complete idea. We have a sitter. As we do often, I give you sometimes some raw ideas and something to think about for you to fill in the gaps. In the Teichacha, there's a very disturbing pasuk. As if the whole Teichacha is not disturbing, but towards the end of the Teichacha, it says as follows. Vizokharti. In fact, this is not really part of the Teichacha. Is it? Is it not? The whole question, is it really part of the Teichacha? I think the minhag is that the Koreh, he lanes this out louder than the rest of the Teichacha. Vizokharti. Yes, but you see what? It's in Perek Chavav, Pasik Membeis. The end of the Teichacha. It's really part of the Teichacha, even though it appears that it's good, but there's powerful Musar. So that's why it's part of the Teichacha, but yet we are like the Mahapich, the Teichacha in general, and especially this Pasik, and focus on the good of the Pasik. The Pasik says, Vizokharti es Brisi, I will remember my treaty Yaakov. The es Brisi Yitzchak. The af es Brisi Avraham Izkor, I will remember. V'ho'oretz Izkor. And the earth I will remember. Question is, why all of a sudden are we changing the order of the avos? Throughout Tanakh, Moshe Rabbeinu, Zuchor, the Tainus is Zuchor le'Avraham, le'Yitzchak, le'Yakov. We say in Shemona Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. In Shemos, Hashem listens to the Gamas Nakas B'nei Yisrael, Batal Shavosam, Druba, wherever you look in Tanakh, in Chazal, there's a Seder. Avraham is first, Yitzchak is second, Yaakov is third. I mean, this is something that is Poshut Admod. All of a sudden here in the Teichacha, all of a sudden we're going backwards. Yaakov, then comes Yitzchak, Hashem says, I'm going to remember. Remember Yaakovinu Yitzchak, and then Avram. What's going on? Also, furthermore, this event over here we have here. This is one of the Yaakovs. Yeah, Elio in Tanakh, five places. Elio should be spelled Eliyahu with a vav at the end. Referring to Elio Hanavi, who's going to come and he's going to mevaser the good news that Mashiach is coming. Hine Anochi Yisraelchem is Elio Hanavi. Lifnei Bo Yoim Hashem Hagodol V'Hanayra. So we're waiting for Eliyahu Hanavi to return and the Mavaser Besor Stavos. And Eliyahu is spelled with a Vav. But in five places in Tanakh, the Vav is missing. Where did those Vavs go? They went to Yaakov. Yaakov, chap the Vavs. And in five places in Tanakh, Yaakov is spelled Mole Yaakov, Kuf Vav base. Extra Vav. You never have Yaakov with a Vav, it looks funny. No, but there are five, and one of the five places here is in this pasuk. V'zuchayti as brisi Yaakov. Why? So Chazal tells, because Yaakov made Elio, he took a mashkoin. He made Elio guarantee, you better come back and redeem my children. You better come back and mevaser b'sor stavos. He's like, he stole part of Elio and said, Elio, you're not getting back your name until you come and you announce good news. We have to hear good news from you. Now the question is, why did Yaakov take it upon himself to do this? Why not Yitzchak? Why not Avraham? From the Avos, okay, you can ask the question, why David? Why did this one? Okay, forget about the other Avos, but talk about other great Ishei HaTanach. We want to talk about the Avos. From the Avos, why Yaakov? Why is he the one that takes it upon himself to make sure Elio comes? Avraham, he's the first, right? Yitzchak. So I saw an idea. It's a very interesting idea from the Tosefes Bracha, Rav Epstein, if I'm not mistaken, right? Rav Epstein, I think Rav Epstein, the very beautiful sefer, very popular sefer called the Tosefes Bracha. He is the one that wrote the Torah Tumima. Maybe I'm forgetting the names. Not good with names, obviously. But the name of the Sefer is called Tosefes Bracha. And there he discussed this issue, and he says the following. The theme of this parsha is Geula, redemption. We're dealing here with redemption of the land. We are redeeming. Before we come to the Parashah, we deal with the parsha. If a person cannot, right before the Toicha, before the Brachos and Toicha, if a person is poor, a person is poor and doesn't have enough money, and he's sold. So who is he? So he's sold as a slave. Who shall redeem him? Who shall redeem the person when he's sold as a slave? Echad me'echav yigolenu. One of his brethren should redeem him. A person is sold as a slave. There is an obligation, someone to come along and ransom him, redeem him. Who? Then the pasuk goes on to say, Oy doy doy, his uncle, Oy then doy doy, his cousin Yigolenu, O mish erbisero mishpachto Yigolenu, or someone else, a relative, another relative. When it comes to redemption, the first one that has the obligation to redeem, we learn this also by Boaz and Rus. When Boaz wanted to redeem the field, so he told Ruth, listen, I can marry you. The one that gets to marry you is the one that is the closest goel, closest redeemer. The one that will redeem your property is entitled, has first rights to marry you. If he doesn't want to do it, if the goel doesn't want to, then I'm next in line. But I'm not the closest of kin. There's such a concept, the closest of kin. And here the pasuk is explicit. When it comes to redemption, it really comes from here. The first one in line is one of his brothers. And then let's assume it's a brother. Then there's an uncle. Then there's a cousin. An uncle is closer relative than a cousin. A cousin is one generation removed. And then Mishaer Bisaro, go another generation, a second cousin, a third cousin. Long lost third uncle, second removed, whatever these things are. There's a seder, closest of kin, comes first. When we're dealing in the Toicha with regard to the pasuk, the theme of the pasuk of the Toicha of Yitzchak and Yaakov, redemption, we're dealing with the geula of Klal Yisrael. The redemption, we go with the pasuk of the Toicha, we refer that we're going to be sent into exile. We have been exiled from the land, we're slaves to other nations, and we're now waiting for redemption. Who is our closest relative? Our closest of kin? Yaakov. Yaakov is closer to us as a relative in halacha. A father is closer than a grandfather. And a grandfather is closer than a great-grandfather. In the laws of redemption, there is an order of closest of kin. And in the order in Shulchan Aruch, father comes first, then comes grandfather, then comes great-grandfather. And even before you get to the grandfather, yeah, you go to the cousins and so on and so forth, but you go in generations. Being that the Toicha, the Nechama, at this part of the Toicha, refers to Geula. And Geula, the Torah already has taught us that you go in order of close of kin. That's why first comes Yaakov, who is the father of Klal Yisrael, then comes Yitzchak, who is the grandfather of Klal Yisrael, and then comes Avraham, who is the great-grandfather of Yaakov. When we discuss generally Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that's when we're discussing, now we're discussing redemption. When we're trying to bring out Zechusim, Kapara, and Slicha. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was with Spadach and the Shmarach, after the Chedu Egel, Zechor Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe wasn't describing redemption. He was coming to bring atonement, Selicha and Mechila. In whose merit? In the merit of Avraham, in the merit of Yitzchak, in the merit of Yaakov. But here we're describing Geula. Who has an obligation to come to our aid to redeem us? See, it's different. They are assisting us. There's one thing of where we are the one that are speaking. We say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're at rest. They don't even know what's going on. Forget about them. They're busy. They're busy learning. But in their merit, have rachmanis on us. Don't bother them. But look at all the chassadim that they did, all these good things that they did, and we're their enekloch. So in their merit, have rachmanis. So then you start top down. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But when you're telling them, why don't you go to Yaakov Avinu, go to them and tell them to do something. Like you go to a kever and you tell the person at the kever, the neshama, I want you to go to the Kiyas Yaakov and make a request. When you're putting them to work, when you're putting your ancestors to work for you, who do you put to work first? The closest of kin. You put to work for you Yaakov. He comes first. Then you put to work for you Yitzchak. Then Yaakov. When we're just trying to be maskir, there's suchusim, and bring merit for us. The maskir, the suchusim of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But we're putting them to work. That's why, who's the one that took the mashkin? Yaakov. Yaakov took the vav from Eliyahu. Because Avraham and Yitzchak, who has the first obligation to do something? Geula means get up and do something. Don't just watch your brother languish away in jail. Get up and do something. So what are you going to do? So then you have to redeem him. Who's redeeming? Oh, me? Like my grandfather? No! You, not the grandfather. Not the great-grandfather. You're close of kin. Then it's Yaakov first, Yitzchak, and then Yaakov. Now, based upon this, I want to explain to you something. I find this to be... Okay, this is just my take on something that we say three times a day. I could be totally, totally wrong. But I want to show you something that I find to be very interesting. The first bracha of Shmona Esrei. Baruch, three times a day. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu. Our God and the God of our forefathers. Who are they? Elokei Avraham. Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Right? We're being masked in their zechusim. Which we burn in Shalom, in the zechus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we're about to pray to you. Okay. Then we say, Elkel, we discussed this once, there are four different expressions, Elkel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanera. And then we explain each one of the four. We explain, what does it mean, kel? Not just stam kel. So kel, kel, elyo. Hashem is a kel elyo, period. Then we, what does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is godol. What's shot godol, big. Greatness is defined in terms of giving. How much does Hashem give? He's godol, goymel, chasodim, tovim. What does it mean to be a gibor? Is there a gibor, a koyvesh, a sitz, on whose merit? In the zuchusav, was the zoicher chasdeava. It's not the point I want to make. And what does it mean? Noira. Noira means a kadosh baruch who brings redemption. Maybe goel of nev neim. Okay. Leman shemo biava. And then we say three things. Melech. Hashem is a melech.
Isn't that the question?
Oh, I'm gonna come. Yes, you're coming. Yes, you're touching on what I want to say. Excellent. I have to first explain this part in order to get that part. Then we say melech, who is three things. Oizer, Omoshia. And a Mogain. And how do we conclude? Baruch Atah Hashem Mogain Avraham. Now, Chazal tells, that's not for now. B'chochoismin. There are three of us, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We begin with all three, but the only one that we choism with Avraham, Avraham is Chesed, he has a special merit, B'chochoismin. How do we describe Avraham? As the Mogain. Altira Avraham Anochi Mogain Loch. Mogain Avraham. Now, you can't play around here. This is my suggestion. If the pasuk, the bracha concludes Mogain Avraham, the pasuk is explicit as can possibly be. The word Mogain is associated with Avraham, and right before that we have three expressions: Ozer, Umoshia, Umogain. If the last is Avraham, L'choira, being that we're chosein the chasima should be me'ein ha'pesicha. That's a general rule in the bracha, that the end should parallel the beginning. In the beginning we dealt with the avos, the end should also the avos. I want to suggest that the second list, Umoshia, refers to Yitzchak, and Oizer refers to Yaakov. Now why is Yaakov, what's the difference between Ozer Umoshia? This is well known. Ozer means Hashem helps you along. You do your hishtadlus. You go to work, you do the best that you can, I'll help you along. Umoshia means you do nothing. I will take care of everything. I will take the initiative. That's a Moshia. Moshia means I'm stuck. Hashem says, I'll come, I'll take you out. Oizer means you go about your daily business and I will cause it that you will be successful. Yaakov, Hashem was an Oizer for Yaakov. Yaakov lived a very difficult life. Yaakov struggled his whole life with Lavan, with his wives, with Esav, with his children. Yaakov had a tough life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but everything that he lived, the Derech HaTeva, Hashem was always there. Hashem was Oizer, got him through. Yitzchak was like an Oyla Tamimah. In fact, Yitzchak should have been died. He should have been killed. All of a sudden, Hashem intervenes. Altishlach yodcha el hanar. The whole essence of Yitzchak, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, was for Yitzchak a Moshiach. Hashem intervened. Hashem came down and stopped the show. Don't go and shout. Altishlach yodcha el hanar. So it's perfect. The last word is Mogein is Avraham, because the Anochi Mogein Lach. Moshiach is Yitzchak, and Oizer is Yaakov. So look what we're doing here. When we begin Shemona Esrei, the order is Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. When we conclude the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, it's the opposite. It's Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham. What's going on? Teretz is, what are the words right before? Umevi goyel livnei vinehem leman shemo ba'ahava. Geula. Geula, when you're dealing with Geula and you're telling the others, take action. When it comes to Geula, there's an obligation for the closest of kin to get up and do something. Echad me'echav yigolenu. Don't just sit around and do nothing. The person can't do anything. Someone has to intervene. Oy doy doy, oy ben doy doy, oy sh'er mebesaroy. Someone's got to do something. Who has the first obligation to do something? The close of kin. Who's the close of kin? Yaakov. So when we conclude the bracha and we focus on geula and we basically subtly say, Avos and Shemayim and Gan Eden, get up! Go to work for us! We need your help! Do something! Oh, when we instruct, maybe Goyal of Nevim, we try to intimate, do something for us! Yaakov first. Yitzchak second. Avraham's on the back burner. Just in case we get this, he comes, he's the Mogein. Mogena. But in the beginning of the Shemona Esrei, we're not up to that yet. We're coming to be Mavakesh. We're going to daven. That's really the theme of the Shemona Esrei. I mean, all of the things are not all about Geula. It's Das, it's Tshuva, Selicha, Refuah, Parnasa. There's a lot of things in Shemona Esrei that are not necessarily all about Geula. So we're trying to, if we burn the Shalom, don't bother the others. Let them do whatever they're doing. But remember who they are. Remember that we're descendants of such great tzaddikim, and there's Zechus. Therefore, we start off Avraham, Yitzchak, V'yak. But when we mention Geula, and we're putting them to work for us, then it's Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham. And one last for you, real quick.
Yeah, in Mincha, Shemona Esrei of Shabbos already, there is an anticipation of Geula.
Yeah.
And in the Shemona Esrei, you say, Avraham, Yagel, Yitzchak, Renan, Yaakov,
Okay, but that's we're not actually focusing on Geula. Okay, you have to understand. There's one of the very last point I want to make is that, I mean, this really would always baffled me, and now I think we have a little bit of appreciation, is on Rosh Hashanah, on the psukim of Zichronos, the musaf of Rosh Hashanah. There's three parts. There is Malchiyos, Zichronos, and Shafros. So let's look at Zichronos, the psukim. There's psukim from the Torah, from Nevi'im and Ksuvim first, then it's Nevi'im. So what are the last psukim of the Torah? First we describe Vayizkol Hakim es Noach, Vayizkol Achaya Asher Ito es Kol Achaya, Vayizkol Abehema Asher Ito Bateva, Vayaver Elokim Ruach Haaretz Vayashokam Am V'nemar Vayishma Elokim es Nakosam Vayizkol Elokim es Brisoi es Avraham es Yitzchak v'es Yaakov. Right? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, down, top down. And the last pasuk, V'nemar, the nice nigun from the Shatz, V'nemar, V'zocharti, from this pasuk, V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov, V'af es brisi Yitzchak, V'af es brisi Avraham, Ezkar V'yaretz Ezkar. So, in the Nusach of the Shemona, they're mamish back to back. There's a Seder going down, and a Seder going up. State of going down is where we are being, we're trying to mevakish merit in their schus. The state of going up is where we're putting them to work for us. And they have an obligation to go to work for us. Because din of geula. When it comes to geula, echad me'echav yigolenu. And we instruct them, go to work for us. And who goes to work for us first? The Torah gives us the order of Geula. Geula first is close of kin. That's why Yaakov took the Vav. So these two psukim over here are very nicely presented back to back in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. And we say it every single day. But we conclude, Umevi Gol of Nev Nev Man Shmo Biava Melech Oizer Yaakov Moshiach Yitzchak Umogen. Okay, we'll stop here and have a nice Shabbos. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek.